Meeting West Chalk, the very last thing you'd think is, that guy's a Marine. Skinny, awkward, passive. He just doesn't embody the typical muscle-bound jarhead you read about in the news or in history books. In his recent book, Just Dust, Wes recounts an unusual tale from a completely different Vietnam-era perspective. It certainly is not your Rambo-type shoot-'em-up story or gory chronicle of war. Instead, it's an introspective account of reactions, thoughts, and unique encounters. One of these introspections occurred when he joined the 26th Marines in 1966 and rendezvoused aboard the USS Vancouver, a battalion of untested raw Marines getting ready to cross the Pacific. First day on the water, here's what Wes remembers.
All goodbyes had been left back at port. Now minutes were just inching by. We lay mostly silent in harbor amid metal chunks and groans, floating, going nowhere perhaps, but unanchored, no longer attached to docks by umbilical cords or loading planks or gangways. Duffel bags had been unpacked and stowed. Stomachs were crammed full of meat and potatoes. We were getting used to funny sounds banging above our heads or echoing underfoot. Those who had sought onboard places to go had sated their curiosities. Besides, the possibly interesting places remaining were off-limits to us enlisted Marines. Most guys milled around, chatting about food, Tijuana escapades, or telling bad jokes. We were getting to know each other, suppressing the impatience that surrounded our acts of wondering what the next new thing would be. Vietnam was a word in our vocabulary for sure, but we didn't talk about it very much. We already knew there would be a John Wayne movie in about an hour, so it was just killing time with no place to go. Then it finally happened. Those powerful, deep-throttled, bass-throated horns announcing ship's departure boomed. Several repeating whap, whap, whap blasts. It meant the ship was moving. Departing San Diego Harbor, heading west across the Pacific, we all detected less than subtle vibrations running up our calves. We dawdled around gaining footing, pretending to get seasick, or exchanging a few comments about things we would do tomorrow. A few guys exited our quarters and clumped up at the bottom of the ladder toward top deck. Our eyes agreed telepathically. Let's head up to the top deck as well. See what it looks like outside. And this was acknowledged by nodding heads. I was one of the last to leave the bunk room. In the narrow hall below the ladder up the top deck, the bunching up of Marines nudged the guy in front with a, "Come on, or let's keep it moving." It was slow going, but oddly enough, there was no shoving, or pushing, or profanity. As boots climbed each rung, there was a muffled clank and then a pause, then another clank. Eventually, each Marine was given his chance to move up. When my turn came, I followed suit, pausing each time, gaining one more rung. Looking up, I could see gray sky and the legs of what must have been a small crowd of Marines at the top. It dissipated, and I finally topped too. I took a deep breath of humid air as my right foot planted itself on the actual top deck as well. I paused, just like everyone else had. My head was being pulled right, and then left, and then right again. Dusk pillowed onto the cloud-laden harbor, but we could still see everything around us. Among the lingering bunch of Marines, I noticed how two turned right and headed toward the stern of the ship, and the next two turned toward the bow. One guy in front of me frowned left, then frowned right, then turned right and headed back toward the tail end, facing the flashing lights, reflections that were now miles behind us. My own pause was compelling. The sun was settling to the left, to the west, in an orangey-yellow ball hanging below the clouds but still above the horizon. The ship was heading straight into the sunset. To the right, images of orange and yellow glinted and flickered against the glass on faraway windows. Against the darkening sky, once formidable skyscrapers retreated amid horizontal strings of red taillights and bright reflected glass. An urban American skyline now passing away. To the left, the clear-cut red ball kissed the orange horizon. The red glow was alluring against darkening skies. The ship's innards groaned, guttural engine whines and whirs while swooshing water skidded by. Then I understood. We had actually departed. It was indeed about fore and aft. To turn right held the comfort of seeing what was being surrendered. The warm embrace of those left behind, remembered tears, and seeing these emotions maybe for the last time. To turn left pulled eyes of those who submitted to the beckoning of the unknown, of the what might be's through uncharted waters in the brain. The pause remained compelling, and as had others, I lingered, glancing right over my shoulder, before turning left and pacing toward the bow to ponder what was yet to come.